Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show.
Good morning. It is the 4th of May, or as all the Star Wars fans say, it's Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. I don't know if there's a relationship, but NASA is sending a new probe to Mars. The launch is planned for early Saturday morning. Not really a galaxy far, far away, but it won't be there till Thanksgiving. So that's a long trip. All right. Now, if you have some travel planned this weekend, blessings to you. I hope that you enjoy the day. I'm Neil Staven, by the way, sitting in for Bill Arnold off again today. He'll be back Monday. Appreciated just coming in early this morning, listening to the bird song, thinking about all the noise of the traffic and everything else. It was just kind of nice to hear something that sounded a little more refreshing. And I hope that you enjoy these beautiful spring days. Much to be thankful for. I was reflecting this morning on J.I. Packer, a couple of quotes from J.I. Packer that I read recently. Of course, yesterday, National Day of Prayer, and coming up in a moment, we're going to talk to Dr. Richard Land, get some of his reflections about this significant day in our nation and other issues in the news, as we always get to. And later this hour, we'll hear from Dr. Jeff Myers from Summit Ministries. Summit is one of those training programs that provides equipping to understand life from a biblical worldview. They've run into some challenges in the California legislature, which maybe shouldn't surprise us, but we'll get his perspective on that. But so I'm looking at a couple of quotes from J.I. Packer that have been reflecting on here these last days or so. Packer said, "There's a tremendous relief in knowing that God's love to me is based at every point on prior knowledge of the worst about me." You know, when it comes to prayer and the National Day of Prayer, we're called to, prayer really is what our acknowledgement that we can't do it on our own, right? That we humble ourselves, that we come before the Almighty and surrender ourselves to Him and say, I need you, I acknowledge you, and you are the rightful Lord. Well, the good news is that when we come to that point, we know that God still loves us because He has loved us right from the beginning. And so Packer goes on to say, "What matters supremely, therefore, is not in the last analysis the fact that I know God, but the larger fact which underlies it, the fact that He knows me." I don't know if you've ever read Knowing God by J.I. Packer, but it would be should be on the list of one of your classics to read. I recommend it to you. We're going to talk with an author of some 15 books, the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, Dr. Richard Land, coming up in a few minutes. Oh, by the way, should mention birthdays today. George Will, 77. I can't understand what he writes, but I was appreciated. Stretch out my vocabulary a little bit. Country singer Randy Travis is 59 today, and contemporary Christian singer-songwriter Chris Tomlin is 46. That's worth celebrating, I think. It's 9 past the hour. The Early Morning Late Show is underway. I'm Neil Staven, sitting in for Bill Arnold. And what a privilege we have on this program to interact with men and women of great insight and intellect. Dr. Richard Land earned his Doctor of Philosophy degree from Oxford University in England. No small thing. He's authored some 15 books, or edited more than 15, and serves as executive editor of the Christian Post and is president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, and is a regular on Faith Radio. Dr. Land, welcome back to the program. Good to have you on.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
So yesterday, the National Day of Prayer, what a privilege we have as a nation to be able to gather together. And thinking, since 1952, it's been in the books, and we probably have gotten pretty used to it and don't perhaps take it as seriously, as soberly as we should. I'm just interested in your thoughts and observations. Were you part of a gathering yesterday?
Yes, I had the privilege of being at the White House in the Rose Garden for the president's official proclamation of the National Day of Prayer, and it was a tremendous time to see a lot of my close friends and colleagues over the years, evangelical Christian leaders, and also a very inspiring testimony. Right there in the Rose Garden, I couldn't help but think, it's been a while since we've seen something like that. The president invited up a man who had been a bank robber, had been in a federal penitentiary as a bank robber, the president was talking about how important Christian radio was, and that this man was in solitary confinement, and about 2 a.m. one morning, he was listening to Billy Graham preach the gospel on the radio, and he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And then the man came up and gave his testimony, and then they invited up the FBI agent who arrested him. And the FBI agent who arrested him, when the man got out of prison the day he got out, the FBI agent met him and said, "I just want you to know that I feel like God put me in the FBI so I could arrest you, so you could find Jesus." And they've become like brothers in his post-incarceration. And he now has a ministry helping prisoners. And President Trump said, this is what faith is all about. We are people of faith. This is the kind of faith that changes people's lives.
Wow. We need to hear those stories, because not all the news that dribbles out of Washington is of that level of inspiration and transformation. So thanks for sharing that, Richard. You were there then as the president launched the initiative promoting religious freedom, a new government office of faith and opportunity. Say a little bit more about that.
Yeah, this has been in the works. The president had shared with some of us who were on his evangelical advisory board right when he first became president, that this was something he wanted to do, and he was working toward bringing it about. And it's going to make certain that the federal bureaucracy, massive as it is, does not discriminate against people of faith, and that people of faith are seen and treated as the integral part of the culture and of the country that we are. And he also talked about religious persecution overseas and of Christians and others, and how he was going to he was putting into place measures to help us to make this known to the world and to let the world know that America is on the side of people of faith.
You know, I mentioned just at the outset, sometimes we can take it for granted. I was thinking about, Pastor Brunson in Turkey facing sentencing and a trial, and how privileged we are in this nation to be able to freely gather and pray and call on the Lord and seek God's face. The theme this year, for the National Day of Prayer was on unity, seeking unity and peace. What is it going to take for us to maybe really see that unity take place as believers? It seems like it has to start with the believers, doesn't it?
Well, it does. I think that the greatest hindrance, I personally believe, the greatest hindrance to spiritual revival in the country is an unforgiving spirit in the hearts of Christians toward fellow Christians. Too much division, too much animosity in our churches. The Bible's pretty clear. An unforgiving spirit poisons the receptacle that holds it. Just look at the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus gave us a model of how to pray, he said, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Well, I don't know about you, but some days that would be a dangerous prayer for me to pray. I needed to pray first for the Lord to help me to forgive brothers and sisters in Christ before I pray, you know, forgive me as I forgive others. And but I think the answer to your question is that the only thing that's going to bring about a unifying spirit in our country is a great spiritual awakening, and it's going to start with Christians. If you look at church history, all great movements of God started with God's people getting right with God. We've got to have a revival among Christians that ripens into an awakening. That's what happens when lost people start getting saved. And then it culminates in a reformation where the saved people who've been revived and the lost people who've been saved are unified in spirit and start addressing the evils in society.
And it's one thing to be praying, seeking God's face individually, but to do that corporately as the body, that has a great impact, a ripple effect impact too, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and it also claims a promise that where two or more are gathered together in my name, that he's there with us in a special way.
Dr. Richard Land giving us some reflections from the National Day of Prayer. He was in the Rose Garden yesterday, part of the gathering there. We're going to reflect on a couple of other issues of concern in the news, get some of his perspective on that. Dr. Land's president of Southern Evangelical Seminary and executive editor of the Christian Post and author and speaker and one of the regular contributors here on the Early Morning Late Show. And we'll hear more from Dr. Land. Talk with him in just a moment here. It's 17 past the hour. Checking the time, 19 past the hour. On a Friday morning, the Early Morning Late Show is underway, bringing you some faith, hope, and clarity. And thanks to guests like Dr. Richard Land, that we can get that in the significant amounts. Dr. Land, president of Southern Evangelical Seminary and executive editor of the Christian Post, and recently wrote about Elfie Evans' short life. For those maybe that don't know the story, maybe just a quick review of Dr. Land and some observations on that that result of his death.
Well, it was tragic and barbaric. A little boy who had an undiagnosed brain disorder. His little toddler, 23 months old, the British hospital he was in wanted to unplug his respirator in his support system, and the parents did not want them to do so, and the Pope offered free medical care for this little baby in the Vatican Hospital in Rome, and the Italian people offered citizenship to little Alfie, so he could. And the Pope sent an ambulance plane standing by, ready to take this young boy to Rome, free of charge, no financial burden on the British government or on the parents. And the hospital refused the aid. The hospital unplugged the respirator and over the objections of the parents, and they put armed guards around the hospital to prevent the parents or anyone else from taking the baby to the plane to fly him to Rome. It's just almost beyond comprehension this could happen in the nation of Britain. But it did, and this was just like the little Charlie Gard case last fall, and it shows you this is where the so-called quality of life ethic leads. It leads to not only an inhumane but a post-human world, in which human beings are devalued to an ever greater degree every day, unless they are healthy and vigorous and productive. It's an appalling sign that we are in deep trouble in Western civilization. Little stories like Alfie's and Charlie Gard's, they are the canaries in the coal mine. And when these things start happening, it should be a terrible warning sign that a poison gas of barbarism is loose in Western culture, the culture of death, as Pope John Paul II called it.
You know, and just reading an article in the newspaper just the other day about that, and people say, oh, you know, it's overreaction, and, you know, but, I mean, and the reality is, I mean, if the parents didn't even have an option, certainly, you know, medical practitioners have wisdom that they can share, but this was clearly...
Let me tell you just how barbaric this was. When they unplugged the respirator over the parents' objections, little Alfie didn't die, which was a real problem for the hospital staff. He continued to try to breathe, and his parents were giving him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation because as he was trying to breathe over a period of a few minutes, his lips would start to turn blue. The little boy was trying to struggle to breathe, but he needed the respirator. And so his parents would give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. They would alternate. And he lived for 5 days struggling to breathe, and a British hospital would not put his respirator back in and would not allow his parents to take him to a hospital ambulance plane that would have given him life support and flown him to Rome for further treatment.
We, as you say, this we have gone a long way down this slippery slope, and how do we turn it around?
Well, I think that we turn it around by registering our horror at things like this and making certain that that we elect people who will pass laws that will make this illegal. We've got to restore the ethic in the civilization into which you were born and I was born, and that is a sanctity of every life ethic, which is enshrined not only in Scripture, but is also enshrined in the founding document of our country, the Declaration of Independence. We believe that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That life is part and parcel of, if we're a human being, we have the right to life, whether we're healthy or whether we're unhealthy, whether we're old or whether we're young, whether we can continue to breathe on our own or not.
You know, if someone just tuned in for the last few minutes and that's all they heard today, that would be enough to strengthen and encourage, perhaps, and help us to stand against the tide today. Dr. Richard Land, the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, joining us on a regular basis here in the Early Morning Late Show. Dr. Land, we've got a Breakpoint coming up in a moment, and today we're getting some reflection on someone telling us, you know, what we need to read and what we don't need to read. And of course, what they're saying we don't need to read is the Bible. And you know, we live in a day where we're often told more and more so what we should and shouldn't do in terms of living a godly life. And thank you for speaking up against, you know, those that are committed to taking us down the wrong path.
Well, thank you, and if people would like more like that, they can go to ses.edu. And also, my op-ed on Alfie is on the Christian Post homepage, so they can go to that as well.
Dr. Richard Land, executive editor of the Christian Post and president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, and go to ses.edu for more on that. Breakpoint coming up in a moment. We're going to hear some books that you don't need to read, at least according to a new magazine. We'll get that update in a minute. Good word from Eric Metaxas. C.S. Lewis comes to mind. I believe in Christianity as I believe in the sun. I believe that the sun has risen not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. When I get perspective, you need to get in God's word. All right. Some great insight coming up from Dr. Jeff Myers in about 10 minutes. Stay tuned for more on the Early Morning Late Show.
Few things are more difficult than dealing with a struggling team. And the stress of coping with the teen can put incredible pressure on mom and dad's marriage. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I've seen marriages disintegrate because of the stress of raising teens. On the other hand, I've seen husbands and wives draw closer because of their common goal. Whatever the case in your household, I challenge you to put concentrated effort into cultivating your marriage. Identify how your teen's out-of-control behavior might be specifically damaging your relationship. Determine to handle the journey together instead of separately. Hang in there. It won't be long before your teen becomes an adult and finally says, thank you.
Having trouble parenting your teen in today's rapidly changing culture? Get instant access to Mark's new free parenting course online at freeparentingcourse.com.
It's the Early Morning Late Show. I'm Neil Stavem, sitting in for Bill Arnold, and we're going to talk in the next few minutes to Dr. Jeff Myers, who is author of a number of books and president of Summit Ministries. And you may have heard just a little bit about the latest news for Summit Ministries and want to get a firsthand report on that, because there's a bill out of the California Assembly numbered AB 2943 that is really an amazing turn of events. Jeff, welcome to the Early Morning Late Show, first of all.
Hey, thank you, Neil.
Maybe just a quick summary of Summit Ministries, and then let's talk about this turn of events in California.
Summit Ministries helps students who are 16 to 25 get a strong biblical worldview foundation before they go off to college and face politically correct nonsense and safe spaces and angry professors. It helps them learn how to become confident in what they believe and at the same time learn how to communicate graciously with the people who are around them. So it's a profoundly shaping two-week program that helps students during that big transition, that rite of passage in their lives.
You've been doing this for a number of years, but suddenly the California Assembly has thrown things a little monkey wrench in.
Yes, the Summit program is based in Colorado, but over the years, we filled up our seats in Colorado, so we added programs in Tennessee, we added a program in Pennsylvania, and we added one in California. It seemed like a natural place for us to go. There are lots of believers in California, lots of very excited churches, but the California Assembly right now, and this probably sounds really political, but there is a veto-proof majority of leftists in the state assembly. And if you want to know what leftists will do if they get in charge of a state government and completely in charge to where they can't be stopped, then this is what happens. The bill is called AB 2943, and it's presumed to stop reparative therapy, which is a technique that used to be used in the 1950s and 60s, and maybe a little bit after that, I don't think very much. But it was a technique that was used to try to help people stop having same-sex feeling attraction feelings. Okay, but California already bans that practice. This bill expands it to the point where if you charge for a book or a service, say a conference fee on True Love Waits, and people have to pay $15 to get in or whatever, that actually can constitute criminal fraud if you tell people that they do not have to have sex, or that man-woman marriage is best, or any of a number of other things that are in that bill. Okay, so I know that's a kind of a nerdy, long explanation of it, but the fact is, this is the single most blatant chilling of free speech I've seen in my lifetime, and it's happening right here in the United States of America, in the state of California.
They're essentially saying that if you hold a traditional view of sexuality and marriage, you're not welcome in California. Is that right?
You are. If you're charging for it now, if you on the street give free advice to somebody, or you have a friend out for coffee, you can still say what you want. But if you write it in a book and people have to buy the book, that's considered consumer fraud in the state of California, or would be if this bill passes. And there's no chance that it won't pass and be signed by the governor, unless Sacramento just falls down into the ocean or something. It's going to pass. The question is,
what do we do now? And at Summit, we decided we're going to continue to fight against it. We're Colorado people, but we want to help our friends in California. But we can't risk our young students and mentors being in that environment where we aren't really sure whether we can tell them the truth. So we decided to suspend our program until everything gets straightened out in California, and I hope it will. But in the meantime, we're bringing all of those students to other locations around the country, and this has been turned into a massive news item just in the last 72 hours.
Well, and I guess maybe some would say, well, that's California. I mean, the little strange happenings there anyway. But this isn't just going to be in California eventually, is it? I mean, what happens there gets spread across the country.
Well, I knew this. There might be something bigger that was wrong when my very first interview was with a New York broadcaster, and he said, "Oh, trust me, New York is next, and then New Jersey, and then," he said, "and it will be all across the country." I did an interview yesterday with somebody who said she was facing something similar in the state of Oklahoma, of all places. Now, Kansas is facing this. Iowa is facing this. If anybody listening thinks that this is just crazy California and it will never happen here, you need to think twice. This kind of use of the state legislative power to compel people to think and speak in certain ways is coming.
Jeff, you've been leading Summit Ministries for a number of years. I mean, it's had a long history and tradition of talking, teaching biblical worldview. This is nothing. The idea of traditional views of sexuality and marriage is certainly nothing new from Summit. I mean, it seems a little surprising that it would kind of pop up now. I guess has there been other maybe attempts over the past to limit or curtail the message that you've been sharing in these 2 week camps?
Oh yeah, well, Canada, we can't. If we want to train a kid from Canada, we have to bring them here. We cannot do our program there and say the things that we say, because we tell people we think man-woman marriage for life is God's best. We think that's the biblical design. When students say, "How does my faith inform my sexuality?" we give them answers from the Bible, and it's been followed by billions of people for thousands of years. It's not like it's all that controversial, but now the state is starting to try to find ways to cut down on our ability to do that. So, our teaching, about a third of our curriculum bill could potentially be illegal in the state of California when this bill passes. And even before it goes into effect, there's a chilling effect because people, frivolous lawsuits and crazy activists and things like that. You have all this stuff that happens, right? It's not actually when the text of the bill gets passed. It's when people feel like they're now free to do whatever they want to the people they don't like, and that's when legislation like this becomes really dangerous.
Talking today with Dr. Jeff Myers, who is president of Summit Ministries. By the way, go to summit.org for more information, not only on their program, but on ways that you can maybe respond and be a part of counteracting this activity in California, summit.org. We're going to take a quick break and come back in a minute and talk about Jeff's latest book, because this is certainly relevant, because his latest book is talking about the secret battle of ideas about God, overcoming the outbreak of five fatal worldviews. And we are certainly in the battle of worldviews these days. And we'll get more with Jeff Myers in just a moment here on the Early Morning Late Show. It's the Early Morning Late Show, and we've connected with Dr. Jeff Myers, who's authored a number of books and is president of Summit Ministries. I'm talking about what's going on in California, and it's the ripple effect, the impact in terms of free speech in America. And, we kind of just shake our heads, can hardly believe it. But, Jeff, I know this comes from, basically ideas, worldview. That's what Summit Ministries has been all about, is teaching a biblical worldview. But if you don't have a biblical worldview, ideas have consequences, don't they?
Well, we teach people that a biblical worldview is not just loving Jesus in your heart, but it's also loving Jesus with your mind. Scripture tells us to have the mind of Christ. A lot of Christians have lived in sort of two worlds. They have their real world, and then they have their faith, which allows them to escape from the real world. And our point is, you know, the faith is not about escaping from reality. Faith is about embracing reality. It's what makes sense of reality. It is allows us to take our faith and live it out in every area of life. And when you look at it from that perspective, you can see these there are other worldviews competing for our attention out there. They are counterfeit worldviews. They tell a little bit of the truth, but in the service of a larger lie. And most Christians fall for them. And that's why I wrote that book, The Secret Battle of Ideas About God. Here are the ideas that are coming after us that are trying to narrow our understanding of reality and shape us into political animals to, you know, have revolution or, you know, to promote science as the only way of knowing or, what you know, all different kinds of views. But that's what the book is about. I wanted to alert the church. I wanted to alert individual Christians, and I wanted to do it in a way that would be a page-turner. That was my goal.
Well, and maybe just to touch on those the worldviews that you address, and then let's talk about how do we equip our kids. I mean, I think as parents, that is a big concern. How can we help them to be better equipped to face the angry professors, you said, when they get to the secular university?
Well, I know a lot of Christian parents, they have done the very best they can, and that I think that's fantastic. And I'm a parent, and I'm doing the very best I can. But there are times when you need somebody who also says so. That's the service that Summit provides, because students come in here, and the things their parents have been telling them are now being said to them by PhDs with multiple best-selling books and so forth. They're, oh, yeah, okay, this is good. My parents have been telling me this all along. Now I see that this is believed by other people who aren't my parents. I get it. Okay, so now I'm ready in my mind to become the kind of person who learns biblically rather than just takes whatever comes along on a YouTube video or whatever the professor says. That's the first thing. The second thing that happens is they learn how to develop Christian community. You know, truth is always it always flowers in the context of relationship. So we do a lot of small groups, mentoring. We create a place where people can be safe to express their doubts and to learn to grow. And then we want to help them knock down the barriers that stop them from loving Jesus fully. So this program, parents have been really pleased because student will come back after 2 weeks and they'll say, oh my, I can't believe what happened in just those 2 weeks, the maturity, the growth, the willingness to embrace and to learn good ideas and to learn and even relate differently with adults. It's a powerful, powerful thing. And I know that personally because I came to the program when I was 17. And now it's my privilege to have the opportunity to head the ministry.
You know, I know you address in the book, The Secret Battle of Ideas About God, that there it's like a virus that has, you know, affected and infected so many of us. We're not necessarily even aware of it. But there are some steps to arresting those ideas. Maybe just to quickly review those, because it's a good summary, I think, a good takeaway for us.
Sure. Well, first thing, Neil, is you have to be able to identify the bad idea. So in the book, I suggest that we need to think of ideas in the idea world as being like viruses in the physical world. They're not alive. They're just bits of genetic code coated with a protein. So the cells bring them in as nutritious. That little bit of genetic code, that little lie, weaves itself into the cell and then begins reproducing. So you have to be able to identify what it is. Second, you have to be able to isolate what's bad about it. Different viruses have different effects, and they spread in different ways. If you want to stop the spread of a very bad virus, you have to identify where it's spreading, why it's spreading, who's spreading it, and then, you know, go into those specific areas and identify it. In the world of ideas, you have to identify what's bad about bad ideas. Okay, it's not bad that Marxists care about the poor. It's bad that Marxists are materialists and they believe that ideas and innovation and so forth can't really do anything or have any sort of an effect. And then the third thing is you have to be able to inform people. So you identify, you isolate, then you inform. Here's what's going on. We have to be able to talk about it. Scripture tells us we have to be able to teach. And then finally, you have to invest. Those who are sick, if they get sick with the virus, they can't stop it. They don't know. There's nothing they can do about it. You just have to help their body stay strong enough so that they can get well. And I believe those four things, which is what epidemiologists do when they're trying to stop the spread of a deadly virus, can also help us in the Christian community stop the spread of bad ideas that make us miserable.
Recent Pew Research suggested that younger adults have, you know, don't share the same view about the reality of God that an older adult does. I mean, we're facing a culture that has probably less, even though we're more connected to information, we have maybe less understanding about who God is.
We have, I do think that is correct. You know, the different worldviews that I look at, the counterfeit worldviews include new spirituality and postmodernism and Islam and Marxism and secularism. Christians have embraced those like you wouldn't believe. And it is more among younger Christians, but among older Christians as well. We found that 61% of self-identified Christians strongly embrace some aspects of the new spiritualist worldview. 54% embrace postmodernism, 38% Marxism, and right on down the line. So, yes, we as Christians, there's never a time where we can say, oh, you know what, we have the mind of Christ, we can stop thinking. We always have to love God with all of our mind, and we always have to be on guard. There's never a time where we can just let go and cruise and think that everything's going to be fine.
I know that your mission is not only to help us understand what we believe, but why we believe it, which I think is maybe a challenge, too, as our young people leave on their own, that they need to make their faith their own.
They do, Neil, and that's why this summer, you know, we opened up more seats at Summit because their program here in Colorado was filled. But we know that even at this late date, there are young people who are trying to figure out what to do with a couple of weeks of their summer, and parents who are thinking maybe this could be helpful. But as a nation, we need to think, the kinds of attacks we have in California, do we want to face that generation after generation, or are we going to get serious and prepare our young people to be the kind of leaders who can stand against this and stand for truth? So we're here, and we want to train young people 16 to 25. Come to summit.org, find out how you can do that. Find out about the scholarships that are available, if finances are an issue, find out about discounts that are available. I'm buying a lot of airplane tickets right now because I'm flying all the students who were going to be with us in California to one of our other locations. But we want to do what it takes to be sure we identify, get those young people in here, and give them a shot at becoming the sort of people we'll be proud of 30 or 40 years from now.
And as you say, I mean, this is about training up the next generation to be the leaders that can lead from a worldview framework that makes sense and is coherent.
That's exactly right. Yep, you got it, Neil. I've always enjoyed having conversations with you. You enjoy this, and you really get it, and you have a real heart for people. And so I'm grateful that folks get to hear you.
Well, Jeff, good to connect with you again. Dr. Jeff Myers is the president of Summit Ministries, author of a number of books. His latest called The Secret Battle of Ideas About God, Overcoming the Outbreak of Five Fatal Worldviews, recommended reading. And to find out about how you can get plugged into Summit, their program, or maybe even just the support in the fight against this California Assembly bill, go to summit.org for more. Jeff, great to have you on the Early Morning Late Show.
Thank you, Neil. Sure appreciate you.
Heard that reminder about the Action Study Bible. If your kids or maybe you are into Marvel Comics or Star Wars, it's Star Wars Day today. May the 4th be with you, right? Anyway, 4th of May. You'll want to sign up for the Action Study Bible. Got great graphics in it. And, of course, it's the full biblical text. It'll be a great maybe gift for a confirmation or graduation coming up. So check that out and sign up today at myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. Chris Tomlin's birthday today, so playing a little bit of Chris as we head off to wrap up the show. He's 46 years old today, and God's given him a great gift, and thankful he shared it with us. Also, country singer Randy Travis, who is recovering from a stroke, but still singing when he can, and so keep him in mind today. All right, got just a minute left. We want to stay tuned for great insight and teaching from Colin Smith, Unlocking the Bible, and then Chuck Swindoll after that, and a great day of teaching and encouragement. Been reflecting on J.I. Packer lately, and I'll leave you with this quote. J.I. Packer says, "Knowing God is the most practical project anyone can engage in. Knowing about God is crucially important for living our lives." And Packer says, "Disregard the study of God, and you sentence yourself to stumble and blunder through this life blindfolded. as it were, with no sense of direction and no understanding of what surrounds you. Don't give up the study of God's Word. You'll have great opportunity for that in the moments ahead here on Faith Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend. Bill will be back Monday. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show. Connecting.